This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 263 of the Countdown Podcast. Hope your lockdown is going okay. I don't want to get too Huey Lewis on you now, but we're happy to be stuck with you. My name is Wayne.
I don't know that song.
God damn it, how do you not know that song? Happy to be stuck. Really? Okay.
Sure, I would have thought you had a roll with, no, power of love doesn't really work.
No.
How about the power of love is infusing
I can,
this podcast?
If I'm doing that, I can just throw out the whole Huey Lewis thing. I get a whole different band. Bitch, please. Happy to be stuck with you is a great ass song. Trust me, you need to check it out. And you close the episode with it.
Well, my name is Paul. Did you even say your name?
Sure, it's Wayne.
Sure, yep. Episode 263 of the Countdown. Not sure you said that either, did you?
I sort of did, but you know, I want you to say it again.
What a great start to a podcast. It is only been going for 5 years.
Hey, that's how we do, man.
Welcome to said podcast. We count down movies, and today, television in order of awesomeness, so yeah. You don't have to. And we thought, let's hit up television because you're all home.
Exactly.
You're all watching a lot of stuff, presumably. And probably you're thinking, now is a good time to catch up on those TV shows that you probably should have watched, but you haven't yet. And
damn
that includes,
right.
Therefore, one of the most important parts of said TV shows is the antagonist, or if you will, the villain.
Villain.
So today is the top 10 TV villains, according to Wayne and I.
Mm-hmm.
And this one should be a fun discussion where at some point or another, someone will tell someone else to
eat my ass. Eat all the S's, man.
How did you know what I was going to say, Wayne?
No,
that was amazing.
No doubt. I hate it when you
get into the particulars. We'll get into the particulars of the countdown itself on the other side of the segment, which starts every episode, the recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is where we listen to what you had to say to us the previous week. Right, Paul?
That is absolutely correct. I'm going to kick it off with a message from a new listener to the show who's now joined the Facebook listening community, Greg Sneed. Hello, Wayne and Paul. I just wanted to send a message during these crazy times right now to say thanks for your podcast. As an essential worker, I'm happy to be working, but also happy to have this as one of my podcasts to distract me from what is going on right now. I remember when I first tried this pod, I was mowing the lawn, and in a short time I heard this laugh. I was like, holy shit, what was that? I went in the house and made my wife listen. I thought, what am I listening to? Little did I know, I was listening to one of my future favorite podcasts. Keep up the good work. Hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. Greg in Michigan. So thank you very much.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Obviously, then we need to get to the content of last week's show, the top 10 Tom Hanks films, and I was pretty confident you would win the vote. And you absolutely did. You smashed it, in fact, I believe is the appropriate term. Oh, although, really? Thankfully, there was no worry about whether or not I would make 10 votes. The final tally ended up being 52 votes to you to a paltry 25 from me. So that's a very solid victory. Well done, sir.
Thank you. That's not bad on you either. That's nowhere near as bad as some of the scores I've had.
Both ways.
Yeah.
3-3, therefore, on the year. Now, some of the comments as we look down the Facebook listening community, Adam Malure said, stupid is as stupid does, Paul, voting Wayne. So my omission of Forrest Gump seems to have been a big
nail in my coffin. I'm glad that, actually, you had no option, because if you picked Forrest Gump, I'd know you were fucking pandering.
Exactly. I would never have done it, but
no, there we go. Yeah, you wouldn't have.
Dan Brennick from Netflix and Swirl did say Cloud Atlas is absolutely a top 10 Hanks film, and it's a shame Wayne hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, that's another ringing endorsement. I shall definitely look into that.
Rob Walter said, I feel like Forrest Gump is one of those movies that hasn't aged quite as well or something, because at the time I recall thinking it was so great, now it just isn't quite the same, sadly. So I'm not sure which side Rob voted for there, but here you go. Obviously, Gump is what more divisive film than I thought, because I got quite a few votes because I refused to put it in. But others, were very, very down.
Do you remember that?
For that?
Do you remember that President of the United States song called Lump? She's Lump.
Yes.
She's Lump. Remember Weird Al? Weird Al did a song called Gump. It was about Forrest Gump. That would be cool.
I do remember it.
I just thought of it now. I think you showed it to me. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Charles Gretsch had Wayne for me, seeing he has Burbs on his list. Love that movie. Jared from Two Peas on a Podcast, very interestingly, had The Money Pit as his number one.
Right. I like that show too. as I recall.
Catch Me As You Can, number 2. That Thing You Do is number 3. So I brought Ryan all the way down at number 6.
Oh!
6.
What's
Gerald.
This? Gerald. You know, you're walking the tightrope, my friend.
To say, look, it's just because I don't return to rewatch it like I do these other films and whatever. Don't care, Gerald. It's unacceptable you would think Saving Private Ryan could be so low on that list. And The Money Pit's a better Tom Hanks film.
Get ready for the wave,
or better
Gerald.
Any film. Just it's taking some of the heat off Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
No, of course I'm joking. Thank you, Gerald, for your message.
Nice one.
and Nicole Presley said, it definitely goes to Wayne Wright. Forrest Gump should make that choice alone, but I actually voted for him because everything that on his list, 6, 5, 4, and 3. Nice job, boys.
Nice.
Fun listen. Yeah, Jon Snow for the Contrarians also agreed. So Julio for the Contrarians also agreed. I can't vote for Paul because that's a vote supporting Gump hate, and I can't have that. The other big thing was got the listeners going was our Vegemite debate.
Oh, yeah. I'm still freaked out by that, by the way.
Troy Spinner from the Great Mates podcast, part of the CC Radio Network. Do check them out, ccradio.com.au, said, number 1, a good slathering of Vegemite is great. Doing so without butter is for serial killers and lunatics.
That's exactly. No, you know what? I understand if you want a thick layer of brown, Paul. In fact, that used to be my nickname. But if you have no butter, you're not cutting the saltiness of Vegemite with anything.
You're not cutting the mustard?
Well, you just you need that fucking butter, man. It's weird that you don't have it.
They did say, Gump sucks. Paul gets an easy vote. So there you go. So he's not that much your guy. Just clarifying. Over to Twitter where Anth P said, Paul, what is this madness? You must put butter on anything before adding Vegemite. Must. On toast, you have to let it melt before the Vegemite goes on. However, from Anna Wilsek said, thought this was an important message to send. Not Vegemite, but I do eat the UK version Marmite in the same way as Paul eats Vegemite. No butter and super spread thick. Preferably on crumpets, though. So thank you, Anna, for being the voice, the lone voice of sanity in this island of madness.
Well, first of all, that's bullshit for Paul. Well, I think, look, Marmite is not as sharp as Vegemite. Vegemite is a bit sharper and a bit salty.
You reckon?
I reckon. Like, I've had both because I have grandparents. And it's... yeah, I think she... Look, you're both insane.
All right. Don't listen to him. He is mad. All right. That's the end of this week's recount. Thank you so much for getting back to us with your feedback on the episode at hand. 3-all as we head into next week's show where we'll vote for who had the better list of top 10 TV villains, which is the other side of this important message from the Epic Film Guys.
Can you imagine a world immune to all forms of cancer?
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for our 4th annual live stream for the cure.
And this year, we need your help more than ever.
Please join us May 27th through May 31st for 48 hours of live content from guests and podcasts around the world.
We'll be aiming for our most ambitious goal to date as we try to raise $10,000 for the Cancer Research Institute.
Please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com for more information on this year's event and how you can be a part of it. Together, we can make a difference.
The top 10 TV villains.
What I liked about that one was the villains at the end.
Is the subject for this week's countdown. Wayne, how did you go with this list?
Oh,
was it difficult, easy, or did you have many, many people / villains to work from?
Somewhat difficult because I had to adopt a position halfway through, which I don't like doing. Now, here's the thing. If we say top 10 villains, it's probably my favorite villains, which means that if you're a really successful villain, often you are hated and you're an absolute bastard and like you're not pleasant to watch or look at or whatever. Those aren't on my list. There are people who are much worse than my villains, but I actually like these villains for various reasons. So that's it's favorite villains. It's favorite 10. How about you?
What? No.
Wait, more effective villains aren't on your list because you don't like looking at them.
That's right. They might be the most effective as in deadly villains, but they're not my favorite, so they're not on my list necessarily.
What are you, a fucking moron?
That's right. I have to like them. I have to like them. How did you go about it, fucking automaton cunt?
I went by like ranking the best villains. I think there's some heart in there, I'm not going to lie, but overall, the people at the top of my list, or the things at the top of my list, are the most effective villains and the ones that, yes, I hated or and also in some ways respected. I think To get high on my list, you need to both be hated and respected for what you managed to do.
I see where this is going, and I think it's a lot to do with both of our personalities. You see,
yeah,
with mine, it's all love, baby. Just like my life. So it's like, I actually have to, even though they're cunty and not necessarily unevil people, I like them. I actually like them. I would maybe not necessarily hang out with them, but there's something about them that I dig. You'll see. But that's how it's going to go. Yours are going to go, this guy's an asshole because of this. And I'm going, this guy's great because of this. And that's going to be the show. And that's great, I think. That's why we're here.
Inconceivable.
That we would be so far off the mark. You would be so far off the mark.
I think mine is the list people want to hear.
Well, in that case, lead us away with the list that people want. Your number 10.
I mean, we'll see. Okay, my number 10. There's a TV show on HBO or Foxtel if you're in Australia. And not many people have seen it, but I totally recommend it. It is called Barry.
Okay.
Now, this is...
I want to watch this one. I haven't seen it yet.
You should. You should. It's about... Bill Hader plays Barry, and he's a war veteran who's returned from the Gulf, and the only thing he's good at is killing, so he becomes a hitman who only kills bad guys. So that makes it okay to like him.
So he's kind of like Dexter.
Yes. Yes. Except, I mean, there's some, you know, there's some mention of his PTSD or whatever, but it's he's not actually a psycho. He's just whatever, right? Although I guess you'd have to be a hitman to a bit. Anyway,
I don't know. You're offing people left, right, and center. You've got
issues.
Yeah,
you probably have issues. Yeah. Anyway, the thing about this show is he is now decided that he would rather be an actor in L.A. than be a hitman, but he's finding it hard to transition from being a hitman to being an actor because bad guys still follow him and he's still got
a
handler.
So it's like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang-esque.
Yeah, yeah. And but what makes it cool is there's this bad guy, and he's my number 10. He's the head of a Chechen mob called, and his name is Noho Hank, and he's one of the funniest TV characters I've seen. He's played by an actor called Anthony Carrigan, who you may have seen. He's an unusual looking man. He's completely bald, and I think albino, not sure. Very pale.
I'm starting to get it now.
It's not just because I'm bald. It's not just because I'm bald. He's got no eyebrows. I think he's got alopecia as well. So he's a really odd looking fella.
No eyebrows. Hang on a sec. Now we're back in that Jeff, whatever his name is, from Tiger King.
No. This guy is way better than that guy. I would way rather be this guy or the freak guy. It's a kind of a mobster with a heart of gold thing, but his performance is specifically weird and tender, and it just transcends that whole usual thing. He's sweet and endearing and lovable, but he is a murderer and he is insane. So it's really easy to root for him and overlook his violence. That's how charming that character is. Noho Hank on Barry. Give it a try, I say. It's only a half hour show, so you can just rip through it.
It does also paint a very interesting picture about your romantic life, that choice, Wayne.
What? I don't like anyone.
Insane, but sweet and whatever.
I think we're all like that, Paul. Okay, everyone wants a Stark in the streets and a wildling in the sheets. Sorry, go on.
Well, my number 10 is not dissimilar in one way, and it's the least intense of my villains by a long, long way on my list. That's why he's down here at number 10, I'm talking about Newman.
Oh, my God! Seinfeld. I wanted to put Newman on this list. I really wanted to put Newman. I wanted to put a bunch of people like that on this list. I'm glad you did. Please, go on about Newman. Oh, my God, Newman.
Played by Wayne Knight and his iconic role. You can't see Wayne Knight anything else and not think Newman.
Even after Jurassic Park, yeah, you're like Newman.
Including in Jurassic Park, you say, hey, there's Newman. Yep. Hey, when does Newman die?
Hello, Newman.
Newman.
That is all class. And you know what? He's so disgusting. He's just a disgusting creature. And like they asked him, like, how come Newman hasn't spun off into his own show? And Wayne Knight himself said, because no one can stand this character. He's the fucking
he's great
worst.
Small doses, but he wouldn't work for a whole half hour.
No way,
show
man. Like, you wouldn't stop looking at you. You wouldn't want to look at him.
He's also the funniest villain on my bunch because he's not far. He's not lethal and he's not far, but he's just annoying. He's the biggest nuisance on this list by a million miles.
Annoying and
smug. The most relatable in that way. And we probably all know someone who has aspects of Newman. I mean, obviously nothing's as bad as that. No one is that extreme. But if you're thinking to yourself right now, nah, I don't reckon. There's no one in my life who's even close to Newman. Maybe just go have a look in the mirror.
You're the one? Is that what you're saying?
But like, it's just a thorn in the side of Jerry in particular, but Elaine to a lesser extent. But what I like about him is that somehow Kramer and he have this friendship. They've somehow evolved past that, or
because they're both because they're both idiots. That's why.
Yeah, Kramer's also an idiot, but like, therefore, he's slightly more nuanced than just being the absolute antagonistic foil that he might have been. So
it's more that like,
he's selfish. He's rude. He's a prick. And that's why. But he's fun to hate. And that's why he's on my
list. That is exactly what it is. Because I actually. I enjoy watching him, but I don't enjoy watching him. So that's why he becomes like, it's, I don't know. And it, all of those are performance bits. He's like smelling a bag going, Jambalaya! He's doing shit like that. It's just funny. He's real funny. So, absolutely.
He's very well played. Wayne Knight does a great job. Even in Basic Instinct, I just think of him as Newman. Nice. No, it's not smoking in this building, Mr. Mel. Oh, what are you going to do? Charge you with smoking? Newman? You're number nine.
My number nine is, it's a little old school, okay? But I've always loved this guy. It's Siegfried from Maxwell Smart, or Get Smart.
Wow. That's,
do you remember him?
Left field?
I know, it's so left field, but I've always liked him as a child. So first of all, Get Smart, I adored this movie as a child. Yes, it was a low rent James Bond.
Movie?
Sorry, show, TV show. This TV show was great because it was Maxwell Smart and then, yeah, fuck off. Okay, I quite like that one. I don't know if your placement was quite on. I think you were just a bit.
I was a bit late on.
You're a bit happy. To think, like, to
but I think it's the heart, the intention that matters on that.
Okay. Well, that's the other funny thing about it, because this dude is a German like chaos agent, which is the bad version of the spy network that Maxwell Smart's with, and he is a overly German, really stereotypical. For some reason, he's never seemed deadly, even though, because it's a comedy, he's always making jokes and shit. He's the definite bad guy who could kill Max anytime he wanted, but he never did, and then he made a joke, and then he left, because it had a laugh track. So I've always loved Siegfried, one guy talking.
So the reason that not Wayne's ninth best villain exists is because it had a laugh track.
Well, the character himself elicited what I think is a legitimate laugh. So there you are, yes. this is because I'm an old man, everyone.
What? No.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of you kids out there are like, Max, who, Get Smart, what? And I understand. Just go ahead and look it up. It's a show, man. Sidney Sheldon.
Or you know, don't and watch something good. But anyway.
Fair enough.
My number nine is the only time I've gone away from a singular entity / villain. I've gone with a race. And I'm talking about the Borg from Star Trek Next Generation and Into Voyager.
You like the Borg?
Yeah, I think this is the best part of Star Trek Next Generation. I have not watched every episode of it, but
no.
By far, First Contact is the best Star Trek film from the Next Generation era because of the Borg. The Borg are basically the Cybermen ripoffs. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, the Cybermen, they did a very similar thing, but not in anywhere near as cool a fucking way.
So the way
they assimilate and drag people in and, you know, strip them of their personality and make them one with the collective or whatever it's known as. You know, basically resistance being futile, which is their catchcry, if you will.
You think that's the best movie? The First Contact is the best movie?
In the Next Generation.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, the one with the Borg.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which other ones there were.
Do you have any doubts about that?
First Contact was good. It wasn't... I don't know if it was... What was the better one? Generations, good I didn't luck, mind. Yeah. I didn't mind Generations.
No way. Generations is garbage compared to First Contact.
Really?
It's only because it's got Kirk and
well, I was Patrick very surprised Stewart. To see shit go down with him. It was very cool. Yeah, all right. I'll think about it.
I mean, obviously not comparing it to Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan.
That's all the original stuff. I am surprised that you do like the Borg so much. In fact, I didn't know you were a Trekkie at all.
I'm a closet Trekkie. I have not watched every episode of Next Generation. I've watched every episode of the Borg that features the Borg because the Borg are freaky as fuck. And I just think that whole... dragging you into this collective conscience and just making you part of this whole is scary in a way that, you know, stripping you of your individualism is something that really creeps me out at a sort of base level.
I get that. I think I disliked this stupid box shaped keep. Like they're fucking playing. It's just a fucking cube. Oh, this is shit.
And you inadvertently there quoted from one of our group favorite quotes.
No, but like, did you?
Shout out to Richard for your box keep.
Box shape keep. let me tell you something. I mean, ask you something, brother. First Contact, the movie that features a hot Queen Borg. Sorry, a Queen Borg. Let me ask you something.
Oh God, why here we go again?
Well, did it move? That's all I'm asking. Did it move at all? Did you see her? And
you
she's
know
making
me. I see a pair of thick, weighty breasts, and all logic flies out the window.
You can't roll that shit long twice a damn sword, man. Damn. All right. Okay, so apparently...
However often you mention someone being attractive when it's not appropriate. That's how often that sound like it's rolled out.
Look, they made it an attractive, bald, Borg woman on purpose. So I don't think that's valid at all. So they
That's my 9, the Borg.
Nice one. My number 8, people, is from a TV show called The Shield. And it is the character is Vic Mackey, who's the lead, and he's played by Michael Chiklis. He is a corrupt, brutal detective in the LA.
He's also the commish.
He's also the commish. And he's also he was also the Thing in one of those Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah, he was, less successfully, but still.
Less successfully, although more successfully than the last Fantastic Four movie. He is he's basically a nugget, right? He's a sort of a chunky sort of fella. And he's got his own team of special dudes, and all of them are corrupt. And he's a brutal ass motherfucker. He steals from drug dealers, routinely beats up suspects, commits murder on at least 3 occasions. Like, he does all kinds of nasty shit, but he does, like any true bad man, he does not believe that he's bad. He thinks that the ends always justify the means, and, you know, he breaks all the laws, but that's okay. And for some reason, he's compelling to watch. And he's a family man at the same time. He considers himself a good dad and stuff, which he kind of is. So,
okay. Yeah, I've never watched the show. I mean, I watched the first episode, and I was intrigued by the way the first episode
ends. That first episode is insane, right? It's actually one of the best shows. It's one of the best shows. It's just, it's in the top 10, I reckon, in terms of those cop shows. So
this would be one I should, now, in lockdown, attempt to give a shot at, I reckon. So if I can find it on one of the streaming services, maybe I shall. Once I finish Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Definitely hit that first. More important. So there you are.
Absolutely.
Vic Mackey from The Shield.
All right, nice one. My number 8 is one that you will not have on your list because for whatever reason you don't like this show.
Go on.
And I'm talking about Benjamin Linus from Lost. That's played by Michael Emerson.
Yes. This is quite low on the list for you. I would have thought yours would be higher up here. Like this guy.
Well, what I like about Ben is he became this sort of major antagonist, and he was prepared to do anything to protect the island secrets. He would torture, kidnapping, murder. He even murders his own fucking daughter. That allows her to die in the interests of the island. That's some next level loathsome shit.
He's fucked up. He's fucked up.
And he's a huge foil for the main characters through much of their run. But he slips down to 8 because they really did soften him in the last season or so of the show.
Did they? I remember him being a prick.
Yeah. They end up allowing him to have a bit of a redemptive arc and kind of get on side with everybody. And I never really bought that one so much. Given this is a show all about its characters, I was a little uncomfortable / disappointed by that. I wish he had stayed bad and died bad. So he got that vindicative, amazing moment of yes, fuck you, Ben.
Yeah, though
I never really got that.
I mean, even though I rag on Lost a bit and stuff like that, I still watched most of it, right? Including the last whatever episodes. And I do remember how well this character, in terms of you knew he was up to no good, but he seemed to be doing the thing that you want him to do, and he's suspicious as a character, and then you know he's a bad guy, but you still don't know which way he's gonna go. Each decision he makes seems to be actually almost valid, so that's why they think that, well, not in terms of how
valid,
in terms of how he interacts with the cast and stuff,
right. He's fooling Wayne them correctly.
Yeah. Sorry, not deciding to kill his daughter, but in terms of the way he interacts with the cast, you can see how they would be fooled from time to time. Quite like the character. I didn't mind it. It's not a bad call.
I think that the fact that he was meant to be a bit player, he just brought such this weird, twitchy kind of... He's not a good-looking man, Michael Emerson, but he really comes off the screen in a very real and relatable, not in terms of what he's doing, but he seems more layered than most characters, I believe. And that's why they let him hang around and eventually become probably the major antagonist through the whole show, if you don't count the Man in Black and whatever else.
And the Black Smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice one. My number 7, this is a... you remember The X-Files, Paul?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it? Okay. Now, a lot of folks, there's some very obvious villains in The X-Files, but the one that I always liked was... a character called Alex Krycek, or Special Agent Krycek.
Oh, jeez. Not the cigarette smoking man.
No, not cigarette smoking man, because he wasn't...
Holy
shit. He wasn't as interesting to watch. See, so this character was played by an actor called Nicholas Lee, and he was an operative for the Syndicate, and he briefly was a special agent with the FBI, but he is all through this show, and this is one of the few guys who's actually pretty cruel and horrible, but for some reason I couldn't take my eyes off him. He infected Assistant Director Skinner with nanobots, which he could control to give him a heart attack and shit and stuff like that. Really, really, really bad guy. but compelling to watch. And he did a lot of physical acting. Like, there's this one scene in The X-Files where he was in a car, two guys walked out of it. He realizes at the last minute that the car is going to blow up. And so in one shot, he gets out of the car and runs towards the camera, which pans backwards, backwards, backwards. You see the car in the background explode right in front of him. Really cool. Just stuff like that that happened. So,
wow, yeah. I have to say.
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
To go Krycek over cigarette smoking man. But all right, I admire the fact you stuck to your guns.
There's a slightly personal one here as well. I happen to, this is just by chance, I happen to know someone who fucked him. The actor.
Are you Eskimo brothers?
No. It was a girl. And you.
Oh, but are you and Nicholas, whatever his
name is? No. That would be a little bit cool. But by the way, you know her too, Paul.
Oh.
I'll just say it. It's Tisha. So she was working in Whistler.
Really?
Yeah, in Canada, in Whistler. And she was when Aussies worked there a lot. And they do a lot of shoots down there, like for movies and shit and TV. And he was down there.
They did shoot a lot of the X-Files there.
Yeah. And he was there one time and...
I don't remember this story. Damn.
No, well, she said her friend banged him, but it was implied that she banged him as well. I'm not sure it was the same night. I'm not sure how great it is to be an actor, is basically what I'm saying. But, like...
I wonder if she spoiled, like, the next episode for him.
Tisha's a friend.
Sorry, it's a private joke.
Yeah, they actually spoiled a massive thing for us. Anyway, so, yes, there you are. Krycek, yeah, like I said, it's a favorite list right here. Okay? I like Krycek.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Surprised? But you might be surprised by my number seven. My number seven is Villanelle from Killing Eve.
Now,
have you watched the show yet?
I haven't. Not properly.
Okay. No, you can't really give much. It's just about, literally, I believe, tomorrow it starts... Or maybe even today, UK time. So it's direct streamed from the UK tomorrow, our time. Villanelle for season 3. Villanelle is this Russian secret assassin that they use as whatever organizer. And she is batshit crazy, completely psychotic, and develops this fascination for Eve, who's played by Sandra Oh. And Eve develops an equal fascination for her. And it's the back and forth between the two of them. But Jodie Comer, who plays, or Comer, Comer sounds better.
Comer.
is fantastic. She's not old. She must be mid to late 20s at the oldest.
Yeah.
And she has this range to her, which is completely and utterly compelling that you believe her shit.
I got a question. So I'm thinking about watching this show. On the scale of shows that are out at the moment, like in terms of the newer ones, this is up near the top of the list for you?
Season 1's fantastic.
Okay.
Really, really good.
Really?
And that was the showrunner was Phoebe Waller-Bridge
from
Fleabag.
Really?
And they've got this mantra on the show where each season they put a new female showrunner in.
Yeah.
And second season was nowhere near as good, but still watchable. I'm interested to see whether season 3 can make it better back towards the Phoebe Waller-Bridge level, or whether it's going to drop away, in which case my interest may wane.
So at least one great season.
The thing that keeps me going is not Sandra Oh, it's Jodie Comer as Villanelle.
Okay, very nice. All right, you know what? I'm going to give it a try.
Yep,
cool.
You should. Absolutely should. All right, cool.
Nice.
Your number six, sir.
My number six is pure nostalgia, and I'm going to be very open with all of you people. There was a time where I was really, really into the show Smallville. Now, you remember this?
Okay. As long as you're saying the right person here. Let's see.
Well, we'll see, all right? So about four or five seasons, I adored this show. And I remember why. It's because I watched a couple episodes and my immediate take on it was, this is Dawson's Creek, except Dawson is fucking Superman. And that's exactly how this show is.
Whoa, hold on.
And of course, I love Dawson's Creek anyway. So that's how this thing is.
We know that part.
Right. So the bad guy in this show is Michael Rosenbaum, played by Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor. Now, do you remember Lex Luthor, Paul? Do you remember what he looks like?
I never really got into this show,
understandable,
so I can't judge
understandable.
It good or bad otherwise. So.
Now, I believe there may have been some personal stake in this where I'm like, hey, you can be bald and cool, sweet.
is it the bald thing again?
I think it was that because he was a cool bald guy, right? And he was Lex Luthor as well. And the way he played it in here was not this ha ha ha. I mean, he was actually friends with Clark. So it became like this frenemy, not this, that, whatever, cool guy. Plus... he was always walking around his house drinking water. I don't know what it was, but it seemed like he knew how to keep himself hydrated. He kept in shape. He was kind of cool. So yes, Lex Luthor from Smallville. My number six.
Okay. I think you get a lot of votes for that one. That's a very popular choice in this community.
Cool.
So well played, sir. My number six is the most recent one, I think, on my list. And we've only had one season, but he did make that much of an impact on me. It's Homelander from The Boys, as played by Anthony Starr. Yeah.
Well,
I hate this guy.
Yeah, I hate
love to hate. Just straight out hate him. this all-powerful Superman, basically.
He is Superman.
Superman, who's a megalomaniac, who's also a sadist, and...
Is he a sadist? Oh, yeah, he is. He's a sadist. Of course he is. He is. He is.
He takes pleasure in other people's pain, and he's a complete sociopath who will do anything. And it's only Elizabeth Shue's character who's keeping it even somewhat in check in season one. Mm-hmm. So season two, I'm really fascinated to see where they go with him. But he's so good. Like, this paragon of virtuosity and and that's how they're advertising him, marketing him to the real world. But behind the scenes, he's the worst of them. He's the worst of these superheroes. And they're all scared of him. So he's got this great power. And I think he's fascinating.
Yes. And what's cool about him as well is when you see him turn cold, because automatically he's always like, hey, yeah, he'll lie right to your face. Of course we're going to save you. And then he'll just step off the plane. You know, it's just like, he just goes cold immediately. It's actually really chilling. Like, he is a good character. You're right. It's certainly better than that piece of shit.
I just think he's fascinating. I cannot wait. I hope to see his fall. Like, I can't, the boys, I don't know how far into post-production it got, whether that's been delayed as well because of coronavirus, but I hope it hasn't. I hope they were far enough ahead to at least give us some of the show, but I suspect, given the way that TV turns around, we might be waiting a while for this too, because it was due to come pretty soon, within the next 2 or 3 months, so yeah.
Did you watch Watchmen?
No, I will. That's
after you do, I really want to know if you like this one or Watchmen better, because Watchmen is a whole different kettle of fish, but it's fucking brilliant. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm keen. I'm keen for Watchmen, and if this lasts long enough, I definitely will get to it.
Nice. Okay, cool. My number five, folks, is Wilson Fisk, or the Kingpin from Daredevil, the TV show.
Okay, well, I have to say this then.
Go on.
No.
Ah, up high then for you, eh? Excellent, good. People, this was...
But as you can tell by my lack of...
not that low.
Emphasis, not that much higher.
That's right. okay, so everyone knows Vinnie D'Onofrio, do we? He was in Men in Black, and he was the... that character.
He's also magnificent in The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, shithouse. Poor guy. I don't know who conned him into that movie.
How would you like to suck my balls?
And of course, he was on that TV show. I think it was a... Dung, dung, dung. Was it? No, it was...
Law and Order.
Law and Order, it was, yeah. Whatever. Something, yeah.
One of those Law and Orders. There's so many of them, exactly. I lost count.
Now, Vinnie D'Onofrio was once a very attractive man, and then he put on a lot of weight.
But, in keeping with Wayne's List, is bald.
Well, the funny thing is, I know the cartoon, and the Kingpin is actually so big, he takes up the whole room. He's, like, ridiculously big, right? So, obviously, they just got an actor as big as possible. But, what Vinnie D'Onofrio does with this thing, even though he's a big, huge dude who you think wouldn't do a thing, he's so strong, he can, like, bust out walls and fuck people up. The Punisher tried to whoop his ass, and he just took all of his punches and went, shook him off, and then... smack the Punisher in the ass. And that's why this character is so cool, in my opinion. He's actually powerful, and still, you can tell just bubbling below the surface, he's about to explode, and when that happens, everyone's dead. You like him, Paul?
I do. I think he's magnificent. I think Vincent D'Onofrio is fantastic as Kingpin.
This is so hard, this show. This
he's
role.
Multi-layered, he's complex. Like, you know how every show does this? And I want to, you know, really shout out The Walking Dead for being fucking awful at this. They give this back episode to give the history of the villain of the piece.
Yeah.
And normally I find that shit extraordinarily boring.
Really?
But on Daredevil in season one, it was episode 7 or 8, somewhere around there, it was fantastic. I was completely immersed in Fisk's story.
That's because Daredevil, that first season of Daredevil is one of the best shows, seasons of television I've seen in terms of like new stuff. It's like,
I'm pretty sure it was our number one for that year.
Yeah, it's so good and no one really knows about it. No one knows about it, but the uninitiated.
No, it was a big hit at the time. Season two wasn't as good, but it was still good. But I haven't even watched season three because of course it got canned and cancelled when everything went to Disney through Marvel and whatever else. So I don't know. I want to watch it, but kind of don't want to sully what I've got, so I'm torn on whether to go back there, and I don't know how much a Kingpin is in season three.
I have heard rumblings, dude, that Matt Murdock, what's his name? That actual version of the character, right, in Daredevil, is potentially going to a Marvel movie if they make ever movies again.
Great. I hope so, because that is by far the best Marvel TV show that's been made. Like, it shits on everything else, to my mind, anyway. But yeah, he's so good. Great origin episode. He's so physically threatening, but he's got that heart to him. A little bit like you talked about with Vic Mackey. He does care about his partner.
And his mom.
And yeah, and he's not, yes, he's a sociopath in a way, but he still understands what he's doing. So he snaps and he does get ultra violent. You know, he cuts off the dude's head with the door and car. I just think that's all fantastic.
Well, this is it.
He's a great villain, one of my absolute favorites. And I, again, want to see him fall. Not sure whether that will ever happen now, sadly.
Yeah, I know. That's done.
I mean, yeah, he got caught at the end of season one, went to prison, but of course he was.
Yeah, but that's in there, was when he whooped Punisher's ass, man. Like, he even had his own people in there. Yep. And shit. He's a fucking man. Anyway.
Yep.
All right.
All right, cool. My number five is Game of Thrones related. It had to happen, right? Had to. It's Joffrey Baratheon, as played by Jack Gleeson.
Interesting. Interesting.
And here's my justification for why so hype, or why number five for Joffrey.
Yes, please.
How much did you fist pump and give it the yes when he died in the show?
I agree with you, and yes, I did. And when he got, like, he looks poisoned and all fucked up and shit, that was great. But if we're talking Game of Thrones, there's a guy worse than Joffrey.
Nah, I know you're thinking about Ramsay.
Ramsay is the... when he got eaten, his face got eaten by his own dogs. Now I'm cheering, okay? But don't get me wrong.
Is Ramsay on your list?
Ramsay on my list? No Game of Thrones on my list.
So Ramsay's in my honorable mentions. And the reason why is because he's such a caricature, over-the-top bad guy.
I understand.
Because they'd lost Joffrey by this point, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of gave... they tried to one-up it, but it didn't have the same level of impact as Joffrey had in the first few seasons. Remember, Joffrey cut off Ned Stark's fucking head against his mother's wishes. Even she was shocked at that point because he's such a fucking petulant man-child who is untouchable child. Thinks he can do it.
Yeah.
It's like diplomatic immunity times 12.
Yeah. Now, you see, I think that's all very valid, I think. For me, the reason why Ramsay was worse is, one, Joffrey was actually a child. He's just a little cunt, right? Whereas Ramsay was older and sort of knew what he was doing because he was insane.
Yeah, he's more sadistic. Maybe not more sadistic, but he's more psychopathic, I will agree. But that said, don't forget Joffrey was shooting fucking crossbow bolts at hookers.
Yeah, yeah. They're all pieces of shit. They should all burn at the stake.
So I did war about it in my head and I went, well, who had the bigger impact? This guy, I think he, for the first half of the show, ruled it, whereas Ramsay was kind of a makeup for Joffrey. That's why I went Joffrey over the top.
Yeah, it's like the space you've
been
filled
before. And nice try, and continue to try and undermine my list. But now to give it a sound bite example of how I felt when Joffrey died.
Oh, God. Yeah! It's for everyone of us! It's not for everyone of us! Okay. Well, let me ask you something, though, right? If we're going with... if we're going, like, this totally, like, on board with, like, Joffrey is a valid-ass choice, all right? If we're going with the raft of Game of Thrones villains, all right?
Stop talking now.
Oh, really? Oh, so there's someone else on your list? Got it. No problem.
Okay.
All right, good to hear. Fantastic. All right, my number four, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. The Wire. You like The Wire, Paul?
Yeah, I do. And who did you go with?
I went with Omar, man, with Omar Little. I went with the Omar.
Is Omar the bad guy?
Dude, he's the guy who killed everyone.
Stringer Bell the bad guy?
Stringer Bell's definitely a bad guy.
Is Barksdale the bad guy?
Barksdale's also a bad guy? Shit, Tommy Carcetti's a bad guy, if you think about it. Okay? Like, he's...
I almost feel like Omar became an anti-hero.
Omar, yeah, but you could say the same about Michael Chiklis or what, like, you know, the Office. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's that kind of
and
thing.
And there's a big obvious one that might be coming up on your list that I ruled out because too much of an anti-hero.
Me too. I'm sure there's one we'll have to talk about in a minute. But yeah, but Omar, the reason, like, I think his what might come off as sort of virtues is that he actually has a code. And he actually proclaims that he would never turn his gun on anyone who wasn't in the game, you know? And, like, none of that erases the fact that he makes his living robbing and killing drug dealers, right? So, yes, because he's killing bad guys, it's like Barry, you know what I mean? He only kills bad guys, right?
Yeah.
But why, I guess,
but
I
for
like...
for example, can I say something? Yeah. Dexter's not on my list.
Dexter's not on my list either because that show sucked. No, that's right.
No!
The show's ending sucked so bad.
The show ending
It's like Game
sucked.
Of Thrones.
The show.
Game of Thrones is fucked forever because it's a shit ending. Same with Dexter. Mm. Like,
I will watch Game of Thrones again all the way to the last, like, three episodes and probably then shut it off and just go, I'll make it up in my head.
Yeah, because
by that stage, maybe George Martin might have released a fucking book so we can see what the ending's meant to be.
Don't hold your breath, mate. But yeah, okay, so with Omar, though, you know how he walks around with a shotgun slung over his back kind of thing, and people, it's Omar, and they start running out of the way. What's cool about this character is that bad guys also don't even fuck with him purely out of respect for his skill set. He can get out of all kinds of shit.
He's almost as feared as the Reaper in Reaper.
That's right. If anyone doesn't know what happened there, we made a movie.
Don't worry about it. It's not worth telling
the
story.
It's not good. It's not good. Okay. So yes, Omar Little is his name. Liked his ass.
All right, cool. My number four, we're going to bounce straight back to you for your three because it's Wilson Fisk.
Oh, shit.
Daredevil.
Okay, slightly. Okay, good. Now, my number three is, I'm just going to assume this dude is on your list, and if he's not here, he's up high, whatever. It's from Buffy. And the bad guy I like...
Nope.
Oh my gird. Is Spike. Spike from Buffy.
No, Spike's too much of a good guy.
Spike is not
this
a good
is a
guy.
Terrible
He's
terrible choice.
I can't believe you are having an issue with this. What, you were going to go with Angel? Angel's the total good
nope.
guy.
Nope. No, 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 no. Neither of those guys mate, came close to top 10 TV villains because they were villainous for like a season or two and then become really great guys.
I.e. watchable.
Who help in the cause.
No, check it out. Spike was so evil at the beginning because he starts like with whatever. Like he,
yeah,
he
starts evil.
He starts evil for a couple of things. Yeah, but then this Chip storyline, basically people, just to let you know, Spike is a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, okay? He is an English vampire. He's very funny, hence I like to watch him. He is an evil-ass vampire until this company called The Initiative sticks a chip in his fucking brain and makes it impossible for him to hurt people. But then he finds out he can still hurt bad guys. So even though he is evil and likes violence, he can't hurt the good people, which means he can't be evil. But because by virtue of him only being able to beat up bad guys, he does that and becomes kind of a good guy. But
then he falls in love with Buffy and changes his ways, thus neutering his effectiveness. And then
but
becomes
that's
a straight out good guy on Angel.
That's what's good about him. But Spike is always, always driven by love. Even when he starts on the show, it's because he's with this female vampire, Drusilla, right? And he even like gets Willow to try and cast a spell on Drusilla to make her fall back in love with him. He's actually driven by that. So, yes, he's an ass. Yes, he's a villain. Yes, he's killed a few slayers. But I like watching him, and I love his stupid little jokes. He's still evil.
I can't deny that you like watching him. He's a fantastic character.
Amazing character.
Fantastic character. Just don't think he's a very good villain.
See, I think he's one of the best villains. But hey, we differ.
What you just said
eat my
is one of the most insane
fat.
Idiotic things I've ever heard.
Look at this long
at
shit.
No point
my dick,
in your rambling,
fuck
incoherent
you
response
you hair,
were you even close
suck
to anything
on all the balls
that
in the
be
world.
Considered a rational
see some balls,
thought.
Eat that
everyone
shit.
Everyone in this room is now dumber
suck my
for having listened to it.
Hey, yeah.
God
eat
have mercy
dick,
on
you
your
bitch.
Soul.
See, you even jumped in before because it's such a long sound that I can't believe your shit is like that long. You're like, oh, it must have ended here. No, it didn't.
What I really like about it is that it says on here, edited version as well, so that's the shorter version.
And you still had the poor taste to play it. That's the real learning here, Paul.
That is a genuine shock. You really did catch
I can't believe you don't have it. I'm shocked that you don't have it.
No, definitely
wow,
not.
Okay.
My number three, then, is the other Game of Thrones villain who's on my list.
I know this should be interesting.
And I'm talking about Cersei Lannister.
No fucking way, man. Really? Man, fuck that bitch. She ain't shit. I mean, she's dropping commands here and there, but she isn't like
other
filleting motherfuckers.
Other than
yeah.
the ridiculous turn in the last couple of episodes from another character, Cersei is a greater threat than the Night King. It's a greater threat
Ow!
Than this evil which has existed north of the wall for millennia.
It's just a bitch for sure, man.
And she knows how to handle everyone. She kills every motherfucker. She has moments where she's downtrodden and she still bounces back and kills everybody who is responsible for that downtrodding. She is cold as ice. She's that far ahead of just about everybody else in the game other than maybe her brother. She's fantastic. It's all about protecting her children, which ultimately she fails at. Hence why she becomes this complete villain where she's willing to kill anyone, everything, and even doesn't bother to help them with the dead coming back north of the wall because she basically goes, no. Let them die.
Oh, she's a cunt, no doubt.
And then we'll pick up the pieces.
No doubt.
She's a fantastic villain, and I think well deserves her place on this list. And fuck you for thinking otherwise.
All right, here's the order of bad people in Game of Thrones. We're going to go with like bottom five.
Here we go.
Okay, number one, shit. For me, it's Ramsay. For you, it's Joffrey. Well, no, for you, it's her.
Yep.
Okay, so for me, it's like, it goes Ramsay, then Joffrey, then Euron, then fucking Cersei.
Fuck off,
Euron. Euron's a cunt too. What?
You're honestly the lamest bad guy in the history of the known universe.
What? He's
Although you probably just got Julio's vote because he put him on his list to piss me off.
No, I don't mind no Euron. And then, like, Littlefinger. Okay, maybe Littlefinger.
How dare you say Euron? Littlefinger's a great villain.
Littlefinger,
no,
maybe.
No
okay.
arguments there.
Let's say Littlefinger 3.
Euron is like number 12 with a bullet.
Man, Cersei is 5. Cersei's a 5.
You're a fucking moron.
I'm glad we had this discussion. All
right. Continue before I get too angry to talk.
Cool, because my number two is from my favorite. I wanted to not talk about this because I talk about it so much, but I can't get out of it. Justified has a bad guy named Boyd Crowder. Okay,
of course.
Played by Walton Goggins.
Would have bet my house on it.
Oh, man, he has so many teeth. And he's like, He's a Southern gent. He's a hillbilly. He's all of those things. He's a murderer, a bad guy. But I think what I like about him is, one, somehow he's still charming. Two, he knows who he is. He actually knows who he is. He knows he's going to do bad shit. And when he does it, he's like, uh-huh. And he moves right on and doesn't have a problem with it. No moral compass as such, except for he knows who he is and he just does the bad shit. Takes out his...
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, if you haven't seen it, you won't know. But I really should try Justified. Anyone.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I watched the first episode, thought it was really, really average, and never went back again.
Man, I don't get it. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, I thought that was coming. I wasn't sure where. Number two. Fair enough. My number two is from a show that you poo-pooed earlier saying was shit. It's from Dexter. I'm talking about John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer. Yeah,
yeah. If you're doing your list, not my list, absolutely this guy, because he's the fucking worst man.
Yep.
He did and the impeccably worst cast. Shit.
Oh, yeah. John Lithgow just walks this line between being like manic and a maniac in almost all of his roles. Mm-hmm. Like, you just feel like he's ready to go unhinged at any point in time.
Totally.
So to cast him as this guy who, on the surface, is this family man, and he loves his family and will do anything for them, and behind the scenes, he's just waiting for the moment to kill them and indeed anyone else who finds his secret. Damn.
Yeah.
And to say nothing of the fact, he changes the show. The show peaks with him.
Mm-hmm.
Lithgow versus Michael C. Hall is the pinnacle of this show. And after season four, it starts this very sad trajectory down to the slums that it ends in.
Oh, man. That season four.
Do you remember how good that season was?
We said best show on TV.
Amazing you were after the fallout of it.
We were freaked out because we were like, holy shit, what he did and the way he did it and the way it was unfolding, the way it was shown to you. Holy fuck. That was the balls, man. And you know what? There was a scene in that season where John Lithgow is having sort of like, Dexter sort of tests him by picking something up or breaking something. I can't remember. And you see there's a shot of John Lithgow looking at the camera, going from his mild-mannered personality, and you see his eyes snap. And you see his face snap, and he just goes insane and tries to fuck up Dexter. Amazing acting, amazing scene.
Yeah.
Really, really good
shit. And that's what? He's scary, he's frightening, he completely sells it, and that's why the Trinity Killer, John Lithgow, as him, is my number two.
Fair enough. Good one.
Give us a recap, Wayne, okay. And then reveal your number one. And I wonder if we don't have the same number one, I'm dropped the ball.
I'm sure we don't.
So badly.
In fact, this should be great. Number 10 was NoHo Hank from Barry. Number 9 was Siegfried from Get Smart. Number 8 was Vic Mackey from The Shield. Number 7 was Alex Krycek from The X-Files. Number 6, Lex Luthor for...
The Cigarette Smoking Man.
That's right. 6 was Lex Luthor from Smallville. 5, Wilson Fisk, The Kingpin. 4, Omar from The Wire. 3, Spike from Buffy. Don't know what Paul's problem is. Number 2 was Boyd Crowder from Justified. And my number 1 is... Al Swearengen from Deadwood.
Honorable mention.
Oh, really? Because Al Swearengen, played by, what's his name?
Ian McShane.
I read this about Deadwood, okay? Apparently, cowboys did not curse the way they did in Deadwood. They didn't say F this, F that. They actually spoke. But the showrunner said, I made them do that because it made it, if you did the whole old school, you know, language, it just wouldn't translate. So this way, Al Swearengen is like, open the fucking can, peaches. Just bursts the shit out all the time. I think that he was better to watch than
Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant. I liked watching Al Swearengen more than him. And that's weird for me because I always like the hero. So yeah, I don't know. I think he was actually this show's beating heart.
I'm shocked it's so high. I'm not shocked it's on your list. I guess I'm shocked it's so high because he's not bald.
But he does say
F and C a lot. So it does kind of make up for that, I guess.
I don't just like people who are like me. In fact, I often like people who aren't like me.
Sure.
But I mean, the fact that he was a pimp and this and it was that time and stuff, it's a little bit hard to like him sometimes. But regardless, still like watching him. So,
yeah,
you know.
I'm okay with not liking the villains that you're watching. You have this weird parameter where you must like them all the time. So
again, favorite 10, not worst 10.
Well, that's Wayne's list. How about mine? My number 10 is Newman from Seinfeld. 9, the Borg from Star Trek Next Generation. 8, Benjamin Linus from Lost. 7, Villanelle from Killing Eve. 6, Homelander from The Boys. 5, Joffrey Baratheon, totally where he should be, from Game of Thrones, right there. Number 4, Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the Kingpin from Daredevil. 3, Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones. Fuck you, Wayne.
Ridiculous.
Number 2, the Trinity Killer from Dexter. And number 1, shockingly absent from Wayne's list.
Yeah, let's go.
Gus Fring from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he was fine. I was afraid you were going to say motherfucking Walter White.
No, and that's the point I was going to make. Walter White, for me, is an anti-hero. Like, yes, he becomes villainous as he goes through it. It is the show's Breaking Bad. He goes from being hero to villain in a way, but he's good and his motives are pure for too long for me to consider him.
Okay.
Whereas Gus Fring is a cold, calculating, shrewd, highly intelligent drug lord who rules everything with an iron fist. And he sees Walter White, who is established time and again as being the most intelligent character in this show, he sees through his plans and anticipates them time and again on the show. He is unfucking stoppable. He is the next level above everybody in the show.
I didn't know you were such a fan.
Ultimately, Walter gets his number, but has to, you know, it takes a couple of seasons of him failing before he finally finds a way to get to him. And even that, and I'm going to spoil Gus Fring's fate here. So if you're at all interested and you haven't watched Breaking Bad, I'm not sure what the hell's going on, but even the way he dies in the show, with a camera shot where he walks out of the
oddly controlled.
Blast,
yeah.
And then you're like, how did he live? But there's a part of you going, of course he lived. He's too good to die. And the camera swings around, like it literally screams past him, sort of dollies past him, and pivots. And then you see half his face gone, and then he falls over and collapses and dies. I'm like, damn, that was perfect.
Perfectly shot. And the fact that he walked out himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you just saw him, right? Like, so he was actually like, okay, this happened. I will now walk out of that door and turn.
It's a magnificent ending. It's a perfect ending to a wonderful character, the best villain. And again, it was just absolute
vindication
when he died. I was so happy.
I'm surprised, mate. I'm surprised. He definitely is up there. And I, the only reason I, like I said, I'm going with favorite. He wasn't as much fun to watch as my other ones, but
whereas I thought he was fun. Like even that whole. Like, here's another scene that stands out for me, and I'll leave it at that. Walter White's walking towards his house, gun in hand.
Yeah.
Phone rings. Turn around.
Yep.
Now.
He knows you're there.
And Walter White's like, how the fuck does he know that? How is he seen through this? It's like, this man is unstoppable. He's untouchable. Hey, my favorite villain, TV villain of all time, Giancarlo Esposito's Gus Fring.
You know what was cool about him, I think, is that, okay, so he's this conglomerate CEO guy and he's, you know, working in, he works in the fast food place and stuff like that. And then that box cutter episode. You know that episode? Then that can happen. I'm like, oh shit. So he really is like this most fucking horrendous dude. So yeah, no, good call. Good call. I can see why it's on your list.
I'm not into Better Call Saul. I tried the first season. It was really slow.
So did I. It was so slow.
But
lots
I hear
of people
it gets better and
it.
Better, arguably like Breaking Bad. So my plan in one day is to return to it. Now that I hear he's in it, that's enough to bring me back.
Okay.
He's such a great character. So, all right, Wayne, your honorable mentions, sir. Let's run through them briefly.
Okay. The janitor in Scrubs sometimes tickles my fancy. There's a TV show called Reaper, right? Ironically called. The devil character in there is quite good.
Yeah, Ray Wise.
And James Moriarty on that TV show Sherlock. Very, very good. And yeah, that's about it, actually. Go ahead, you.
I had the mayor from Buffy, season 3. I had Al Swearengen. I had Nina Myers from 24. So, as played by Sarah Clarke. She was great. Ramsey, I had Bolton. I had the gentleman also from Buffy, but I couldn't put them on this list because they were in one episode. Like,
yeah,
they're really memorable.
Shit, they're scary.
They're nightmare material, nightmare fuel for sure, but they're just only the one episode. I couldn't really get in here. And my last one I want to mention is Sandra from Survivor, which you've never watched American Survivor. She is the only two-time winner on the show. Who is
two-time?
Yeah, the least physically threatening person, whatever. She's the worst person at challenges whatsoever. I hate her. Part of me admires, but I hate her overconfidence in her ability to do whatever. Calls herself the queen, and everyone's coming
to
the queen.
Oh, God. I
hate
her.
I still win. She's like the worst parts of ego put up there on screen.
Yeah.
And in this later season 40, you know, spoilers if you're not up to episode 6, I think it was, she gets voted out. And then all through that season, she's just been putting herself on the bench and not participating in challenges, which just shits me to tears that she's the first person to get herself out straight away because. And you can say, well, she recognizes she's not a physical threat. You're meant to be there trying in every way, not just your trusting your social game to get you through and that you think you're more intelligent than everyone else. So it was a great joy when she showed a shred of heart and got fucking ousted on that basis. And then she went to this edge of extinction and basically just went, nah, fuck this. I'm going home. I've got nothing more to prove. I've won twice already. I'm like, fuck this bitch. Made me so angry. So angry.
You know what? When I watch reality TV, I haven't seen that one, but when I watch reality TV and there's a person I hate on it, I start to obsess over that person and I hate them too much to be healthy, and then I stop watching.
Yeah,
like
fair
the,
enough.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. This is like, I know, you love this show. Lots of people I know love this show. So
the annoying thing about it is Jeff is usually savage on anyone who gives up on the show. Like, he has absolutely roasted two or three people through the course of the last 20 years, give or take. But because she was on Extinction, he wasn't there in her ear going, "What? You're a two-time winner and you're bowing out now because you're soft as fuck?" I would love to have seen that moment. I really, really would have. Yeah, because she's won it before, they probably treat her up royalty, which fucking shits me to tears.
What do you win, like $1 million?
This episode, this season's worth $2 million. Normally it's worth one.
Shit.
Whereas the Australian's only worth $500,000, and given our dollar is worth less than theirs.
It's worth $12. Yeah, you get $12. Yep.
That's Alice of the top 10 TV villains. What about yours? We wrap up every episode with a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the Facebook listener community and Adam Miller, one of the top level patrons of the show. Number 3, Lex Luthor, Smallville.
What? You know, right?
2, Negan from The Walking Dead. He's number 1, guy. The Weeping Angels from Doctor Who, which is a good pick. Really like that one. Well done, okay. Sir. Ken Manny had Joffrey. Frank Underwood, I thought, would be on your list, Wayne. From
thought
House
about
of
it. Because he was the lead, I was barracking for him too much. He is bad, but everyone's bad. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. And Homelander as well. Philip Wilson had Gus Fring, the Trinity Killer, and Ben Linus from Lost. Looking forward to your vote, Philip.
It's yours. Thank you it's yours.
For that. Blake Jarvis had number 3, Sandra Diaz from Survivor. Number 2, Gus Fring. And number 1, Joffrey. Number 1, Wayne. Joffrey. Not Ramsay Bolton. Joffrey.
You found another person who agrees with you. Well done.
Chris Sutherland had Cigarette Smoking Man as number 1. All other opinions are wrong.
What about the captain from 21 Jump Street? What was his name?
Stephen Williams? Yeah. The TV show?
He was in The X-Files.
Was he?
Yeah, he was I can't remember his name, but he was like always the all-knowing dude. Okay. He eventually got capped. Yeah, anyway.
Hannah Ostick had number 3, Aunt Lydia from Handmaid's Tale. That's a good choice. Very nice there. Number 2, Ben Linus from Lost. Number 1, my apologies, Cersei, Ramsay, and Joffrey in a 3-way tie.
Okay, so that's yours. That's yours.
A little bit cheating, but okay. Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Ben Linus, Trinity Killer, and Cigarette Smoking Man. Number 1 for B. Dizzle.
Sure. Totally understandable.
Smiley Slimani had number 3, Villanelle. Number 2, Kilgrave from Jessica Jones. Quite a few mentions of Kilgrave. That's David Tennant.
I never completed with that, but I know it's a good show.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. Number 1, Hannibal Lecter from Hannibal.
Okay. Mads Mikkelsen, yep.
Mads Mikkelsen, exactly. Percy Thrillington had the Joker from the animated Batman series. Skeletor from Masters of the Universe. And Mr. Burns from The Sopranos.
Mr. Burns is a good call. Mr. Burns is a good call. Yeah.
Kristen Caro had Villanelle, Cersei Lannister, and Serena Joy Waterford from The Handmaid's Tale as well. That's the chick.
You watched that, playing. Right?
I watched the first 2 seasons. Haven't watched the 3rd as of yet. Judy from Shaker Not Nerd, God from Preacher, Newman from Seinfeld, and Freezer from Dragon Ball Z, which we'll apparently be watching at some point because that's what Judy has picked for us as part of our Patreon.
I have seen re-watch. Dragon Ball Z. All right.
CMC on Twitter had J.R. Ewing. Or Ewing from Dallas.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Simon Cowell from American Idol. That's a pretty funny pick. And the Borg from Star Trek Next Generation. Geek/Nerd podcast had Westworld, The Man in Black/William. So, Ed Harris.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He was a prick.
Kilgrave from Jessica Jones and Negan from The Walking Dead. Go Watch a Movie had Hannibal Lecter, Negan, and Raymond Red Reddington from The Blacklist. Did you ever watch that show?
Oh, yeah, I did, and it's good. I watched the first season, and I'm like, this is not a bad show, despite being a network TV show.
Seven seasons are a lot of episodes, and I think we got two seasons, and it just got a little bit repetitive. And
yeah, look, it could easily have turned to shit, but like, I remember being surprised that it was actually good, and I like James Spader.
Oh, who doesn't? He's a very charismatic actor. Chris Heaney, another high-level patron of the show. Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Newman from Seinfeld. And Sherry Palmer from 24. So, the president's wife.
Really?
Number 1. Yeah. I like that. I like, fair enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Matthew Hardinger had the Joker from 1960s Batman. Walter White from Breaking Bad. So, because we watch him turn into a complete monster. And number 1, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos. Whether orchestrated by or acting directly, he left an incredible path of death and tragedy in his wake.
Agreed. Let me ask you something about Walter White, though.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, this is probably bad to say, but I don't feel like he actually turned into a bad guy.
No, he didn't.
He absolutely did. Okay, so it was bad of him to poison the boy, right? But he didn't kill him.
How about when he lets Hank die?
He didn't let Hank die. He was trying to save them.
No, he sold Hank into it, though. Like, he let Hank to it. How about when he let Jesse get taken by those people?
He ended up saving Jesse. When he killed all the bad guys in prison, they were just bad guys. They were killers themselves. When that Kristen Ritter bitch got, like, fucking...
Let her die.
That's fine. She was blackmailing him. And he didn't even do it on purpose. Like, he just shifted her.
You can't handle the truth.
That bitch needed to get fucking shut down. Let me tell you that.
She
was a crackhead trying to fucking blackmail him. Fuck her. So that's what I say.
Absolutely breaking it out late.
I'm just saying, like, I never had a problem with that. I'm like, yeah, well, what are you gonna do, man? Like, and it's not like you actually actively killed her. She had asphyxiation, so it's just like he just didn't save her. That's
hint to everyone. All this is the show. If you're ever choking on a morsel of food near Wayne,
I would save any one of you guys. I mean, none of you are blackmailing me.
Sure. Last two, Matt for the crossover podcast had Joffrey Lannister, Vern Schillinger from Oz, I don't know if you ever watched that show, and Azula from Avatar The Last Airbender. And the last word goes to Dave, good friend from the Super Movie Bros, Ramsey Bolton, Gustavo Fring,
and Negan,
but only because Jeffrey Dean Morgan's portrayal, not for the show anymore, which sucks.
Does The Walking Dead suck now?
Yeah. Does it ever.
Really?
The Walking Dead is shit. That is it. Thank you so much for all your feedback. We couldn't get through all of it. We had dozens and dozens of replies this week. I guess that reflects that everyone's stuck at home and just gave it some thought, which we totally understand.
We hope
you've enjoyed our tour down the villainous side of TV shows and Wayne with the lighter and more fun side of those villains.
You'll win. It's Wayne.
Wayne, how do listeners give us their feedback on the show?
Get your Google on, and then just Google, like, The Countdown Podcast. You'll find all of our asses everywhere. And you can also send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. You can follow us on podbean.com, where we host the show. And check out the Facebook listener community. The link is in the show notes to join the ever-growing and active community of listeners that we have.
Get on there, man. People, that shit is fun. Let me tell you. People be all seeing shit up there. It's cool.
Hell yeah. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week? Episode 264. Of the countdown.
Top 10, last 10. Yeah, that's right. Because you know what? We've been sitting around just like your asses, sitting in front of our computer screens, TV screens, at home, doing nothing, jerking off a lot. And as a result, you've seen a lot of movies, you know? So new shit that we're hanging out. We're just going to give you our top 10.
I nodded my way through that entire discussion until you got to jerking off a lot. And I'm like, I'm not nodding anymore. In fact, I thought,
hot damn!
That's now we know why Wayne is busy whenever I try and call him.
Fuck off. Yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much for joining us today for episode 263 of The Countdown. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard with a message for Wayne.
You should have done a t-shirt. Okay, my number 9, I'm going to give you an edit point there because I think I may have fucked up my list. Sorry. One second. I'm so sorry.
Hang on a second. I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend it now.
You should have saved it live, cunt. You should have saved it for life.
I'll put it in as a blooper, don't worry.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
My number 10 was NoHo Hank from Barry. Number 9, Vic Mackey from The Shield. Number 7, Alex Krycek from The X-Files. Number 6, Lex Luthor from Smallville. 5, Wilson Fisk.
Did you skip over your number 8?
Yeah, I did. Number 8 was motherfucking...
Take it back!
Do it all again.
Star, fine, start again.
No, it'd be funny.